But I say it in a way that there has got to be so much more in the Word of God and with the Spirit of God for us to understand that it just, you know, can hardly wait to learn. Think what it's going to be like to be a spirit being and have a spirit mind and be able to comprehend and grasp the things in a way more closely that God does. Obviously, we won't be able to do it immediately, but more closely too. That's amazing. Now, let's focus in on God's Word. Your Word. So we're going to do a little skipping around here. Then we'll come back and we'll focus in on the commandments and so forth and do a few things like that and see. And one thing we're going to see how much Christ loved the Word of God. How much David loved the Word of God. Okay, verse 25. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word. Let's come down here to verse 28. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. I want you to notice all the things that are according to the word of God. That means you are to know the promises of God. What is Christ called? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. Verse 38 now. Drop all the way down to verse 38. Establish your word unto your servant who is devoted to your fear. Boy, he sure trusted in the Word of God. Verse 41. Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even your salvation, according to your word. Now, is God going to let any word fall? Now, I draw your attention to the sermons we have given recently concerning Deuteronomy 28, 18 to 20, about speaking a word of God, how important it is. Okay? Verse 42. So shall I have withal to answer him that reproaches me. Put right there Matthew 10. Now forget the verse, but you can find it there. Where it says, when you're hauled before kings and so forth, don't give a thought. But Christ, the Father will inspire what you should say. Okay? That's how you're going to answer, for I trust in your word. Well, come on down here to verse 49. Remember the word unto your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. So if you get down and discouraged, go claim some of the promises of God, but seek God while you're doing it. This is my comfort in affliction, for your word has quickened me. That has given me life when I'm down and out. A lot of instruction here, just simple, short, powerful, meaningful verses. Now, verse 57. Oh, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart, and favor means grace. Be merciful unto me according to your word. Boy, verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Verse 57, behold, I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now that's why there are trials. But now I have kept your word. So it brings you back to keeping the word of God. Verse 74, they that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. That could apply to David and Christ directly. Verse 76. Let, I pray you, your merciful kindness be for comfort according to your word unto your servant. And remember, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the Helper. Okay, verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Now, we just covered some of it here. Let's go back and let's look at the commandments. Now, let's look at the law. We'll look at the law and commandments. Let's go back to verse 29. Verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. And that's so easy because mind is so deceitful above everything, isn't it? Now, sometimes you may not lie to other people, but you may lie to yourself. And that happens when you don't want to admit whatever. Grant me your law graciously. Now, that's almost a contradiction, isn't it? How can you have grace and law? But it's not, because law and grace go together. Okay. Let's come down here to verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. What's to be kept with understanding? Comes from God. Verse 44. I shall keep your law. Now, I want you to understand how many times it's saying, I keep your law. I shall keep your law whenever I decide to. No. Continuously. How long? Forever and ever. Verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Now that certainly applies to Christ. Yet I have not declined from your law. Verse 53, horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake your law. So now we've got the keeping of the law versus forsaking of the law. But you see, the whole key is that you're seeking God first in all of this with your whole heart. All right, verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten your law. So now you are to keep it, you are to remember it, you are not to forget it. Okay? Verse 70. Their heart is fat as grease, that is the proud who lie against me. Let's pick it up in verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, directly against Christ. But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Delight in it. So we're to keep it. We're not to forget it. We're to delight in it. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Something. Let's come to verse 77 now. Let your tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me which are not after your law. Let's come to 97. There are many others concerning the law of God. Well, we'll look at some more of them here. But what I would like you to do, I would like you to study through every one of these verses and break them down. Commandments, law, word, statutes, testimony, precepts, so forth. Precepts would be more the will of God encompassing everything. That's correct. Good question. Good thought there. Okay, let's come to verse 97. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, what does the carnal mind do? The carnal mind hates the laws of God or takes them and misuses them. Okay? Love the law of God. Over here, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts. Why? Because they're all wasted on the self. But your law do I love? Now, did Christ love the law of God? Yes. Let's come over here to verse 127. Let's look at the commandments of God for just 1 minute, since we're talking about loving. And I think this has to do with Christ's attitude, not only David's, but Christ's attitude. No, verse 126. It is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void your law. How about that? And that's what all of those who profess this new Christianity type thing, they make void the law. What did the scribes and Pharisees do with their traditions? Made void the law of God. Yes, they did. Now notice verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Then we come to verse 128. We'll read that again. Therefore, I esteem, or that is, hold in the highest regard, all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So we are to love the law of God. We are to love the commandments of God. Because why? We first of all love God. There it is. Now, let's come back and look a little bit more concerning commandments. Let's look at some more concerning commandments. How should we keep the commandments? Okay. Verse 32. I will run the way of your commandments. So keeping the commandments of God is the way. Okay. How? Now, if you're going to be running, that's rather enthusiastic, isn't it? Not sort of meandering, not sort of thinking about it, not sort of, well, get around to it. No. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall have enlarged my heart. Verse 35. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. Now we saw, love the commandments of God. Now delight in the commandments of God. Verse 47. Now we find it all together here. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. I will lift up my hands unto your commandments, which I have loved. Now remember how I translated Romans 13 and verse 8. I translated it this way. Love is that which brings fullness to the law. So that it's right and good. Here again, verse 48. My hands will I lift up unto your commandments which I love, and I will meditate in your statutes. Let's come over here to verse 60. I've made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. Not only did he run in them, delight in them, love them, made haste to keep them. Now, come down here to verse 66. Teach me good judgment. That could apply to David, apply to Christ, because he says, I judge not of myself, but as I judge as the Father gave me commandment, and his word is true. Teach me good judgment, verse 66, and knowledge. For I have believed your commandments. Now you tie that all together. Love them, keep them, run in them, delight in them, and believe them. Isn't that something? Okay, verse 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And that is more than just understanding the words of them. But I'm sure that is to understand in depth the whole meaning and reason behind all of them, you see. Let's come down here to verse 86. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. This would have to apply to Christ. Let's see some more concerning the commandments. Verse 96. I have seen the end, or that is the purpose of all perfection. But your commandment is exceeding broad. Not some narrow little thing. You take the commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Now that is the broadest of all of the commandments, isn't it? Very broad. Verse 98. Through your commandments, you have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Isn't that something? Just think what the Word of God will do for you. And I can't help but think of the phrase there, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. I think that's in Colossians. Richly, fully, something. Come over here to verse 115. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the law of my God. Verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. Delight in them, run in them, long for them. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Now then, here's a profound verse, 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. So we see the law is truth, commandments are truth, the precepts are truth, the statutes are truth. God is truth. Would you expect any less from God? No. Let's turn the page over here. There are some concerning the commandments of God, the laws of God. Let's look here. Let's take verse 165 and 166. No, 163, and we'll go on down from there. I hate and abhor lying, but your law do I love. Seven times a day I will praise you for your righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. If you have sought God. Now that's a tough one. But it is true. Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. Verse 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Now, how can we look upon the commandments of God then as being evil and harsh and something that we shouldn't do? It just makes you wonder. And especially when people who are supposed to be converted sit in a congregation and don't even respond to some of these lies that come down. And it makes you wonder, have they been sort of programmed to not respond? I don't know. But I hope and pray that God will intervene and prick them in heart and mind and spirit that they can see the truth. Now, the very last verse. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. That's got to be David, not Christ. Seek your servant. Come and find me. I am lost. For I do not forget your commandments. That's something. Okay. Let's come back and let's look at precepts. We talked about precepts being the concepts of God. Okay. Let's begin right here in verse 27. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. So understanding comes from God. All of that. And I'd have to say, brother, as I'm going through here, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I really want to do things this way. I want to know these things. And I hope that I can. And I hope that I can teach it to the brethren so they can know. You see, the whole thing in speaking is not to speak, but that we can all learn from the Word of God together with His Spirit. That's when Sabbath services really become profound. And then you can love God and love each other and remember the things of God, you see. So when David says, make me to understand the way of your precepts, it reminds me that what I've said many times, which is true, we need to learn to think with the Word of God. And if we do, we don't have to come off self-righteous about it. You know, we don't have to. That's not the point. The point is to, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we need to think with the Word of God. Okay, let's see some more concerning the precepts. Let's come over here to verse 40. Behold, I have longed after your precepts. So not only make me understand, but long after them. No wonder David was a man according to the heart of God. See. Quicken me in your righteousness. Verse 45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Verse 56. Well, let's go to verse 55, because this ties in together. I have remembered your name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept your law, and this I had, because I kept your precepts. All the precepts of God. Isn't that something? Verse 63. I am a companion of them that fear you, and of them that keep your precepts. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Boy, that's got to apply to Christ. But I will meditate on your precepts. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I have kept your precepts with all my heart. Boy, I guess the precepts of God are pretty important, right? Don't have to guess. We can just know that it is. Isn't that something? Okay, the last part of verse 87. But I forsook not your precepts. Let's catch just a few more of these concerning the precepts. I am yours, save me. For I have sought your precepts. Now think about this in relationship to Christ. All the time that he was on the earth doing the will of the Father, keeping the laws and commandments and statutes and judgments of God, in constant spiritual communication with God, having this kind of attitude of seeking God with his whole heart, and that's how then they had this. Now you understand why Christ did not sin. This was his whole motivation. This was his whole thought. This is how he operated, you see. I sought your precepts. Now, verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I kept your precepts. Verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, thinking with the Word of God. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, there's some more concerning the precepts you can look at. Let's come back and look at the testimonies now. Testimonies. Verse 22. Testimonies of God. Now, this is just to say, a testimony is hear and listen. The testimony is, if you do this or that or the other, I testify to you. That's what a testimony is. Okay? Remove, verse 22 now, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Verse 24, your testimonies are also my delight and my counselor. Boy, what an attitude toward everything that God has. Verse 31, I have stuck with your testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Verse 36, incline my heart unto your testimonies and not to covetousness. Boy, if we can do that. You see how not only is he seeking God with a whole heart, but he's seeking everything of God in his way and his precepts and his laws and his commandments and his judgments and his statutes and his testimonies. Let's look at some more concerning the testimonies that we have. Let's come over here to verse 79. Let those that fear you turn unto me, and those that have known your testimonies. So they are very, and what do we have, what do we call the Old Testament, right? And the New Testament. So that applies. Verse 88. Quicken me after your loving kindness, so shall I keep your testimony. The testimony of God. Verse 125. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may keep your testimonies. I mean, it's everywhere. Verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Delight after them. Long for them. Want them. They're wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. Now, verse 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love your testimonies. Now this tells us that all the testimonies of God concerning the wicked in their way is going to happen. And he loved them. He kept them. So he loved the commandments of God. He loved the word of God. He loved the statutes of God. Loved the precept of God. Loved the testimonies of God. Let's come down here to verse 152. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Verse 157. Many are my persecutors and enemies, yet I do not decline from your testimonies. That has got to refer to Christ. Verse 168, I've kept your precepts and your testimonies, for all your ways are before me. Boy, I tell you, I go through this and I read this and I think, my, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could really do all of this that way? And I just have to say, the day will come when we are spirit beings. That'll be something, okay? So there's an awful lot here. There's an awful lot. We could go on and on. We've covered about all the major things we need to do here. But I really think that this shows us the attitude of Christ, and I think is a prophecy as to why Christ said the things that he did. Now, let's come to Matthew 5. And we'll sort of end where we began. And I'll let you do some of the studying and things that you need to. But use this as a springboard for further study. Okay? Matthew 5 and verse 17. Now we know this. This is fundamental. But now in reading this in the light of Psalm 119... Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And there are two ways that this means. If you view it, that the laws and commandments in the letter brought the laws of God half full To fulfill means to bring them to their fullest standard of spiritual requirement. So that is true. But also that he came to fulfill all of the things concerning himself in the law and in the prophets. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now let's read verses 19 and 20. Because we don't read this very often, do we? Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, which we are to delight in, which we are to run in, which we are to seek for, which we are to long for, which we are to love. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of God. But whosoever shall do and teach them, which Christ did, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he begins to explain how that righteousness is to exceed that which they have. Because you see, the scribes and the Pharisees were stuck on the letter of the law. And therefore, when you are stuck on the letter of the law, you look to the letter of the law, and you're not seeking God, and you're not loving God, and you're not loving his words. So that's how you exceed their righteousness. When you first read that, you probably wondered, well, my, what? How could that be? These were such righteous people. Hey. Well, according to the true spiritual standard as laid out in Psalm 119, they weren't.
The overseas mailing addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279. Helder Kruin, HELDERKRUIN 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 7357, Kilmarnock, Scotland, United Kingdom.